Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this time that we have with you, and we just thank you for your presence. You're so good. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We just want more of you, God. We want more of you. Thank you, Lord, for the joyful hope that we have in you, the expectation. You're so good. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see everybody here tonight. Kids, I think kids are up with Lucy. If she wants to go, yeah, you can take her up with Lucy. Hallelujah. Just a couple quick announcements. This coming Friday is Christmas, the Christmas program practice. We're going to be having the next three Fridays, we're going to have Christmas program practice from 5:30 to 8. Dinner will be provided, so you don't have to worry about eating dinner, but come, eat something, then we're going to go over the Christmas program, and yeah, it's going to be good. We're excited. And then the 16th, I think that's the right day. 16th of December is also our annual children's Christmas store day. So we're excited about that. And again, if you have any new or gently used items that you would like to donate to the store, please feel free to bring them. You can leave them in the office. We're mainly looking for things that we normally don't have, like things for adults or older kids, or, you know, we've got lots of toys and things that kids like, but we're collecting things for parents, grandparents, older brothers and sisters, that kind of thing. So if you have any, you know, little knickknacks that you have around the house, or scarves or sweaters or little, you know, tool things or something, we collect all those and then we get to gift them to our families, and it's a lot of fun. They have so much fun. I remember that was one of the things I look forward to the most when I was in children's church. And my mom actually, until just recently, had one of the things that I had given her from the Christmas store. It was an angel that we would bring out every Christmas. And I think in the last couple years it broke. But before that, she had kept it for years and years and years. And it's just a fun memory. All right, hallelujah. Well, I have the honor and privilege to be bringing the word tonight. And we're going to talk about Christmas. Surprise! You know? We're going to talk about Christmas. But something that God has really been working on my own heart, and I have recently heard a few messages that kind of just confirmed this, about the love of God at Christmas. The love of God at Christmas. So that's the title of our message tonight. The love of God at Christmas. So we know, you know, there's that song, and we describe it as the most wonderful time of the year. I love Christmas. I have a box that's full of Christmas earrings that I am like, I wait every year to be able to pull them out, like November 26th, when it's socially acceptable, the day after Thanksgiving, to start wearing Christmas things. Like, my Christmas earrings are out. I have, you know, I wear scrubs all the time, so I have like Christmas undershirt, long sleeve shirts and things. I love Christmas. I love it. And it really is. Personally think it's the, or if not, it's the, if not the, then it's one of the most wonderful times of the year. Sorry, a little tongue-tied. But something that I have been realizing, and it may seem like a no-brainer, but apparently not to me, was that Christmas is all about God's love. It's all about God's love. Christmas is all about God's love. And some things that we know about God is that, number one, God is creative, right? Genesis 1:1, says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We all believe this. We know this to be true. God created everything. You know, it goes on a little bit further to say that he said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, he is creative. That is our God. And I was listening to a sermon recently, and they gave some, they were talking about the grandness of creation. And I looked up, and so it really piqued my interest, and so I was Googling some different facts about the universe and stuff online. And something that I didn't know is that the diameter of the observable universe, so as far as they can see at this point, the diameter, so the measure of the full observable universe at this point, is 93 billion light years. So the speed of light, so you flip a light switch on and off, like light travels super fast. I wish Bill was here. He would probably tell us exactly how fast light travels. Huh?
186,000 miles per second.
Oh, well, there you go. 186,000 miles per second. So light years, in light years, the amount of time that light, or the distance that light can travel in a year, so take a year and divide it by however many seconds, like I can't even imagine that number, but 93 billion light years. And it's still expanding. The universe is still expanding. And, you know, they have this big, we've all heard of the Big Bang Theory. And to me, it's so like, duh. You know, God said, let there be light, and boom, like everything just went. And it's still going. His word is still going forth. The universe is still expanding. He didn't. He never said stop. So he's creative. That's one of the things we know about God. The second thing is that God is awesome. I know we use that word a lot. It's a word I use a lot. But I looked it up, and it literally means like impressive or awe-inspiring. And that is God. God is impressive. God is awe-inspiring. Okay? So in that 93 billion light-year diameter, we have roughly, at this time, what they've seen and estimated is 100 billion galaxies. 100 billion galaxies. I mean, I can't even wrap my mind about how big that is. 100 billion galaxies, and then there are over 100 billion trillion stars. It's like one with like, I don't even know how many zeros. It's over 20. Like, it's crazy. There are over 1 billion trillion stars. And so bring that down to our scale. We're in one solar system, in the tiniest little blip of all this great expanse of creation. We have 8 planets. I grew up with 9, but now there's 8. And within that, we have one Earth. In Psalms 19:1, and I think I forgot to add this up there, but in Psalms 19:1, it says that the heavens display the glory of God. The heavens display the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Have you guys ever Googled and looked at pictures of galaxies and like those awesome cloud formations and not like, it's awe-inspiring. And those are the things that our God created. He is a creative God. He is an awesome God. He is impressive. The heavens display his glory. The skies display his craftsmanship. In Romans 1:20, it says that people have seen the earth and sky. They see what God has done. I'm gonna read it because I just wrote a little bit. Romans 1:20, it says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. We can look around. Have you ever, like, just been in nature or somewhere and you're like, man, you just, the sunsets here. You look at the mountains. You know, we've been to Hawaii before, like, you know, just seeing the ocean, just seeing the expanse. Like, there are just, I don't know about you, but there have just been certain times when you look around and you're like, man, that's beautiful. How can all that be an accident? How can all that be an accident? It's not. I mean, we look around every day and we see the earth and the sky, the things that God made. It displays his glory. It displays his creative nature. So God is awesome. The third thing that I have here is that something that's really cool about God is that God loves diversity. God loves diversity. There's so many different kinds, you know, like looking at the stars and the galaxies and all those things, like there's so many different colors and shapes and formations and all these things. And then you bring that home, and on Earth, there are over 8.7 billion species on Earth. 8.7 billion species on Earth. And there have been a lot that have gone extinct. So there were more than that. That's just on our planet. Like, it blows my mind that God can be so immense and so great and so awesome and yet so personal and so diverse and all of these things. So we've all heard that, you know, no two snowflakes are alike, right? But have you ever thought about that? Like the reality that no two snowflakes are alike. I looked it up, and in 1 pound of snow, 1 pound, so you could probably hold that in your hand, there are over 22,000 snowflakes per pound. The exact number is 22,325. And all of those are different. So you times that. But I mean, I don't even know how many pounds of snow there are on the earth, but every single pound has over 22,000 different snowflakes, and times that by the millions and billions of pounds of snow, like, they're all different. So a God that can be so great and expansive in power, and yet his awesomeness can be so minute and diverse and things that we don't even really notice. Like, it's amazing to me. There are over 7.53 billion people on Earth, and out of that 7.53 billion people, none of us have the same fingerprint. Even identical twins, their fingerprints are different. I can't even, like, you guys, that's God, that's awesome. So we believe in the expanseness, and you ask people, like, do you believe in God? Like, yeah, I believe in God. Like, we, you know, it seems really easy for people to say that they believe in the grand creative God. But to me, in my experience, it seems like it's a lot harder for people to believe the loving aspect of God and the fact that he loves them. You know, just in my own family, I've had conversations with my mother, and she says that, you know, since she's become a Christian, you know, it's something that she struggles with and deals with every day, because growing up in the family that she grew up in, God was presented as, if you don't do this, God's going to punish you. You know, or if something bad happened, well, what did you do? And, you know, like if God did that to her, or, you know what I mean? Like if God was this guy up there, you know, you see with, like, the lightning bolts ready to strike you down. So it's hard, it's sometimes hard to imagine this God who is so great and awesome, and yet He loves us so much. And Christmas, if we're looking for proof of God's love, if you're looking for proof of God's love for you, Christmas proves God's love to you. Christmas proves God's love for us. Out of all those 7.53 billion people, God took the time to make you. He took the time. He doesn't have some Play-Doh cookie cutter, you know, like that just like pops out people and everybody looks the same and everybody thinks the same and everybody does the same thing and likes the same thing. How boring is that? God made all of us different, even identical twins. And I've known a few sets of identical twins. They're, even though they may look the same on the outside, they are different on the inside. There's a set that I work with, and they're identical twins, identical. And one of them is like super girly. She loves, you know, girly things. And the other one is the complete opposite, tomboy, you know, doesn't wear makeup. She's just like rough and tumble kind of like, but they're the same, but they're not the same. So each one of us, 7.53 billion people, God took the time to design us, to give us a plan and a purpose, a reason for being here. And he made you different with your own thoughts and ideas and emotions. The Bible says that he knows how many hairs we have on our head, that he knit us together in our mother's womb, that he thought about us. That's love. Love. God wants the best for us. I looked up the definition of love, and just a few of them. There's a lot of definitions for love, but I took the first 10, 11 or so of them. Love is described as an intense feeling of deep emotion. It's fondness, tenderness, warmth, intimacy, desire, passion, yearning, attachment, compassion, caring, relationship, just to name a few. And those are all things that God feels towards you. He feels fondness, tenderness, warmth. He desires relationship. He has passion for you, yearning for you. The Bible describes God as jealous, like he wants to be with you. He loves you. He wants your heart. He's attached to you. He has compassion for you. He has all these things, caring, warmth, intimacy, fondness, all those things are emotions that God feels towards you. God feels towards me. And sometimes I feel like, at least for me, you know, like when, like I would sing about God's love for me, or I would think about God's love for me, like I almost felt, not that I was boasting, but that, you know, like, oh, well, I shouldn't think, almost like I needed to humble myself or something. I don't know how to describe it, but it was almost like, well, you know, that song that comes to mind now is a song that we used to sing, and we haven't sang it for a couple years, I don't think, but it's How He Loves Us. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves us. He loves us. But that's something that we need to know, is that we are loved. We are loved. That was something that my mom always instilled in us, you know, like no matter what, she would say, no matter what, you need to know that you are loved. I love you. I love you. And we need to know that our Abba Father, our God in heaven, loves you. You need to know that. He loves you. And so don't feel like it's a bad thing to celebrate God's love for you, or that you should be like, shrink back. No, my daddy loves me. My dad loves me. My God, he loves me. That is the whole reason for this whole thing, is that God loves you. He loves me. Christmas proves God's love for us. John 3:16 and 17. We know this. John 3:16. I'm going to read verse 17 too. It says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." I feel like this is one of those scriptures that we just know because we had to memorize it since Sunday school, and we just know it, and we just spit it out like we would, you know. There was, growing up, we had this prayer that we would pray like for every meal, you know, or even sometimes like the Our Father, you know, in certain religions, like that, it just gets spit out. And we don't even really think about it. But God loved us so much. He loved you so much that he wanted to reconcile relationship with you. So he sent Jesus, because you are that important to him that he would give up his only son to make things right between you and him. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God loves you. I didn't add that up there, but as we were worshiping, I was reminded of Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, in starting in verse 35, it talks about how nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. God loves you so much, so, so, so much. And this whole passage, it talks about it, how nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. So even while we were in sin, that's why God sent Jesus in the first place, is that we were under sin, we were in the curse. But God loved us so much, even while we were in that state. He's like, no, no, no. I got to make things right. I want them back with me. I want them in fellowship with me. I want to be with them. I want to be intimate with them. I want them to experience my presence, my power. All of that was manifest and revealed through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. So the same God who is so big is also so personal and so wonderful. So it is the most wonderful time of the year, because all of this was driven by love. It's all because of his love for us. It is the greatest. I mean, Christmas celebrates the greatest rescue plan ever started. And it all started with the birth of Jesus. He had to send his son. He had to be born so that he could pay for our sins, so that he could die on the cross, to come to the end and have the victory. It had to start somewhere, and Christmas celebrates the beginning of our redemption. And he did it because he loves you and he wants to be with you. So God sent Jesus as a baby to be born with the master plan to save us all. God sent Jesus to be born with the intention of saving you. God sent Jesus to be born with the intention of saving me. He loves you. Christmas is about his love for you. In the word, it describes God that it says that he would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, in creation, in the Garden of Eden, he would walk with them. God likes to chill. God likes to hang out. He just wants to be with you. He wants relationship. He wants fellowship. He walked with them in the cool of the day. So God sent Jesus to renew that same intimacy and relationship. In Isaiah 7:14, I think we have that, yeah. It says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. His name describes God's whole plan and purpose. He just wants to be with us. He just wants to be with you. That's his name, Emmanuel, God with us, because he wants to be with you. He loves you so much. God proves his love for you through Christmas. And I mean this in the most reverent way possible, and please don't misunderstand me in any way when I say this. Christmas wasn't about him. It was about you. Christmas was about saving you. Christmas is about redeeming you. You know, we sing about this little baby boy, and those songs are wonderful, and we worship Jesus for what he did. But we have to understand that the meaning of Christmas is to save you. I don't know if you're getting this, it's just been awakened in me, is that Christmas was for me. Christmas is for me. Christmas is for you. Because when he came, when God sent him, he is sending him with the purpose to save me, because he loves me. He loves you that much that he is sending Jesus. Christmas is for you. So I don't know, that is just my heart's cry, is that we would understand the love of God, the grandness of the love of God towards us. Second Corinthians 5:18, it says, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. But all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself, because he loves you so much. He wanted that relationship with you that he sent Jesus. Because he loves you. Christmas is about his love for you. He loves you that much. If he didn't care about you, we didn't need Jesus to come. He would have just left us. All right, well, I'll just go make a new earth. Let's start over. Just leave him. No, God loves you so much that he sent Jesus. I don't know if this is making sense, but God loves us so much that he sent Jesus. Christmas is a gift to us. Christmas is because God loves us so much. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus. God with us. God with us. He sent him. He's like, you know what? You're going to make it right. He's going to make it right, and I got to send him so that he can live, and then he's going to die, and oh, it just gets better from there. Romans 5:11. Oops, I went too far, but you have it. All right. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of what? Our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Jesus made us friends with God. God sent Jesus so that we could be with him because he loves you that much. Christmas is for you. Christmas is because God loves you so much that he sent Jesus with this plan to make us friends with him. Because of what Adam and Eve did, he couldn't walk with us again. Sin was there. The curse was there. Everybody got kicked out of the garden. But because of Jesus, we're friends with God. The veil is torn. We can go into the Holy of Holies. We can experience his presence. We can crawl up into his lap and cry out, Abba, Father, thank you so much for loving me. The word says that we love him because what? Because he first loved us. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus. Christmas is God's gift to you because he loves you so much. It's so humbling, and it just, me thinking about it today, I was driving, and that's where I do a lot of my thinking because my house is crazy and everything's crazy, and I can think better in the car, and I was just driving and thinking, thank you, God. God doesn't have to love us, but he does. And unconditionally. The Bible talks about it in different scriptures about how we were in darkness and he called us out into the light, that we were clothed in filthy rags and that the blood of Jesus washes us white as snow, that we were yet sinners, but yet he had the greater plan, that even though we were in this mess, he loved us so much, even though we didn't deserve it, even though we can't do anything to earn it, we can't buy our way into God's love, he just does because he is love. God loves you so much. And he's not up there with a big stick ready to hit you the first time you do something wrong. The Bible says that there's nothing that we can do that separates us from his love. Not even the powers of hell, it says. So we make our own choice. We make our own choice. We can put ourselves in hell or we can put ourselves in heaven, but the word of God says that regardless of our own choice and the decision that he makes, he still loves us. The word says that his desire is that not one should perish. God loves us so much. Even those people that make the choice and they're going to spend eternity separated from God, he still loves them. He loves you this much that he would send Jesus for you. Christmas was about saving you. And we worship God through Christmas because of what he did. And we worship Jesus through Christmas because of what he did. But we need to understand that the underlying purpose of Christmas was to save you, to save me. And we worship God all the more because of it. It's his gift to us, Emmanuel, God with us. And because of Jesus, we're now friends with God. So as much as I love this season and I love the red and green and I love the make-believe part of Christmas and I like the reality of, you know, I love the reality of the nativity, it's not about the gifts and, you know, presents are fun and I love giving gifts and receiving gifts, but it's not about cookies or Santa or snow or a tree or all of these things or even about spending time with family. Like, all those things are great, and I don't want to say that, you know, don't do it, because that's part of the beauty of the Christmas season. But we need to know that Christmas was about you and a God who loves you. Christmas is about you and a God who loves you. So I don't know if this has touched home with anybody else or if it was just me that for whatever reason I'm understanding just a little bit more this year, and I hope we get this, I hope you get this, that Christmas is for you because God loves you. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And Christmas is God's gift to you. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for you being the loving and kind and awesome and creative and wonderful God that you are. We do not deserve your love. We couldn't earn it. We can't buy it. But yet you give it anyways because you are so wonderful. And we honor and worship you, Lord. We honor and worship you. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ, your one and only Son, because you loved us so much. You're so good. And Lord, I just pray that we would each begin to understand just a little bit more how great your love is for us. Your word says that we could never fully comprehend how high, how wide, and how deep your love is for us. But Lord, help us understand just a little bit more. Because in understanding how much you love us, it helps us understand your character, who we are in you, and all the promises that you have. It's all because of your love that we are free. It's all because of your love that we are healed and redeemed. And so in this Christmas season, when there's so many other things going on, it's so busy and so packed full of activities and family and fun and all these things, Lord, help us just to understand and realize how great your love is for us. Help us to humbly understand how much you love us. And right now, Lord, I just say, I love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, and we thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your everlasting love. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you. We love you in return, God. We just love you so much. In Jesus' name, we just thank you and worship you. Hallelujah. Well, I thank you guys for coming tonight. I hope this made sense. I hope that it struck in with you as it has with me. And celebrate this Christmas season just a little bit more, understanding the greatness of God's love for you. Hallelujah. Well, have an awesome night. Again, Friday, 5:30 to 8 o'clock, we're going to be having a Christmas program practice. And we will see you guys on Sunday, if not Friday. Amen.